In the mid to late 70s, the relationship between the church and the film industry was approaching an all-time low. The respectful biblical epics of the 60s had flopped spectacularly and been replaced by films that took a much less authoritative stance on the life of Jesus. Furthermore, the Moses TV series made in 1975 had offered a scripturally accurate but nevertheless deeply troubling account of the Old Testament's most famous character. It was then that the Pope had the idea of asking the producer of that series, Sir Lew Grade, to make a film about the life of Jesus. Grade accepted and turned to Italian director Franco Zeffirelli to make the film. Zeffirelli had had success with various Shakespearean adaptions and seemed like the perfect candidate. They followed a long casting procedure which ended up with an English actor, Robert Powell, being chosen for the part. In many people's eyes, Powell is one of the film's biggest strengths. Fitting well with classical images of Jesus, enhanced by his icy blue and blinking eyes, he makes a striking Christ. Others, however, see his portrayal as one of the film's biggest weaknesses. Powell's slow, mannered speech, his very unpeasant-like posh accent, and his unreal eyes seem altogether unhuman. Some would argue that this is just the way Powell speaks, yet someone chose to have him speak that way rather than adopt a different accent. The criticism of this Jesus' somewhat unreal humanity also extends to the screenplay. With a giant 6-hour running time, the film should have been able to incorporate virtually every incident from the Gospels, and yet so much time is spent on the nativity and childhood sequences, which take almost a quarter of the running time, that many incidents are excluded. Interestingly, when we start looking at what exactly was cut out, it becomes clear that those scenes that show Jesus either is most divine or is most human. For example, some of the scenes that show him at his most human, his temptation, his presence at an alcohol-fueled wedding, his initial dismissal of the Syrophoenician woman, are all absent, and his painful death is sanitized to minimize his suffering. Similarly, those scenes which show him at his most divine are also excluded. There is no walking on water, coin in a fish's mouth, water into wine, or transfiguration. The resurrection is present, but short, just 10 minutes compared to 90 for his birth and childhood. And this seems to confirm the rumour that it was rushed due to budgetary problems. Some have called Jesus the party deity, based on his frequency of eating with people and his vision of the kingdom of God as a celebration. For example, in the parable of the prodigal son. Ironically, this Jesus is absent from the best actual party the Gospels described. In Imaging the Divine, Lloyd Bow ends his chapter on the film with this stinging summary. Zeffirelli's Jesus is a rather traditional, middle-of-the-road, somewhat conservative image of the Saviour. A paragon of balanced conformity, he is neither too human nor too divine, and he is certainly not demanding nor innovative nor radical in any sense. Intended for a mass television audience, Zeffirelli's Jesus does not disappoint that public. Superficially characterised, rendered inoffensively, materially mysterious and sentimentally human, surrounded by an attractive supporting personalities and a well-unified and smoothly developing narrative, he is an ideal domestic saviour. In the end, however, and precisely because he is so domesticated, this Jesus has little to do with the mystery of Jesus Christ of the Gospel. Strong words. In an interview, Powell once claimed that his job was as follows.
As a responsibility of playing the part, I think we've touched on that. It was just to be the Christ that people imagined him to be.
The thing is that when Jesus came, he wasn't the Christ people imagined him to be. His version of messiahship was challenging and uncomfortable, rather than one that conformed to people's expectations. To dwell too much on those weaknesses would certainly be unfair. The film has many strengths. For example, this is possibly the first film to really take Jesus' Jewishness seriously. Sadly, few have followed its stead. So, Jesus' father has side curls typical of more modern Orthodox Jews. The film, particularly in the earlier stages, are packed with Jewish prayers and rituals. The individual visual details in many scenes emphasize the Jewishness of the story. Furthermore, the film paints a variety of Jewish people, both those for Jesus, but also those rationally and calmly against him. Arguably the greatest nod to post-Vatican II attitudes to Jesus' Jewish context comes in the imaginary figure of Zerah, played by Ian Holm. It is this scheming scribe who is the architect of Jesus' death and manages to persuade the other parties involved, the Romans and the Sanhedrin, to put him to death. One of the other strengths of the film is the manner in which it harmonises the Gospels. The screenplay by Zeffirelli, Anthony Burgess and Suso Checchi DiMacchio cleverly starts in the style of the Synoptic Gospels, but transitions to the style of John's Gospel after Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. Some scholars seem opposed to the very idea of harmonising four Gospels back into one. Whilst I can sympathise with that to some degree, ultimately behind that one Gospel there was only one Jesus, who only lived one life. Whilst attempts to recreate him exactly will ultimately fail, it doesn't seem particularly unworthy to try, especially when some of the major problems in doing so are handled so well. Others argue that the desire to re-harmonise the four back into one is just human nature. Powell's portrayal of Jesus aside, human nature is something that Zeffirelli captures very well in this movie. One of my favourite scenes is the scene of Peter and Matthew being harmonised over the story of the prodigal son. It's a powerful scene as Peter hears the words that bring him to realise the state of his own heart. One of the reasons this film focuses on these human relationships is down to the formal differences between the media of cinema and television. With the exception of Dennis Potter's Son of Man, this was the first major portrayal of Jesus on the small screen. The transition from the large screen to television automatically made it harder to focus on dramatic backdrops or vast crowds and put the emphasis back onto relationships. There's a certain intimacy about broadcasting a story into people's homes which offered up different possibilities from portraying Jesus in the cinema. Part of the reason this film is so popular is because it gets so much right. The acting is generally strong, and the sets and costumes far surpassed anything that had been seen on our screens beforehand. So much of the Gospels are included that it feels like something definitive, even if that is not actually possible. Finally, the death scene is incredibly poignant. Whilst it has its flaws, which film about Jesus doesn't, it's certainly one of the better film versions of his life that is available, and arguably the most balanced overall. While some people see that as its biggest weakness, for many more, it's the reason why this is their favourite version of the greatest story ever told. Next month, I'll be discussing Pier Paolo Pasolini's Gospel According to St. Matthew, which many consider to be the finest Jesus film ever made. Thanks for tuning in.